welcome to the 2024 BMJ SDI podcast series. I am Fabiola Martin, the BMJ Sexually Transmitted Infection podcast editor, a sexual health and HIV specialist based in Australia, and lecturer at the School of Public Health at University of Queensland. You will recall our podcast about a hope to fight Neisseria gonorrhea through an effective vaccine. Neisseria gonorrhea is a ubiquitous sexually transmitted bacteria that can cause both localized and systemic disease if left untreated, and may be transmitted to neonates. We reported on a rise in the incidence of gonorrhea alongside growing rates of antibiotic resistance. Today, we will revisit the use of vaccinations against gonorrhea and provide you with an exciting update on the advice provided by UK's Joint Committee on Vaccination and Immunisation, also called JCVI, on using a vaccine against meningococcus called 4CMenB OMV vaccine, used off-label for the prevention of gonorrhea infection in patients at significant risk of infection with bacterial STIs attending specialist sexual health services. I'm looking forward to share with you my conversation with Sunita Soni, consultant in sexual health and HIV, University Hospital Sussex, and chair of the Bacterial Special Interest Group of BASH, British Association of Sexual Health and HIV, and Yen Bui, consultant in vaccination and travel health, Institut National de Santé Publique de Québec, Canada, and Kate Saab, NHMRC Leadership Fellow and Associate Director for Research, Institute for Glycomics, Griffith University at Gold Coast in Australia. So, welcome to you all and thank you for making time for us today. Sunita, you're based in Brighton, UK. Could you please tell us about your scope of work?
Hi, Fabiola. Thanks for the invitation to join this podcast. I'm a consultant in sexual health and HIV working in Brighton in the UK. Brighton's a seaside city close to London with one of the highest rates of STIs in the country, in particular gonorrhea and syphilis. As a clinician, I'm providing testing and treatment of STIs with a focus on STI prevention, such as HIV pre- and post-exposure prophylaxis, hepatitis A and B, human papillomavirus, and Mpox vaccination.
Thank you, Sunita, and welcome here. Now, Yen, could you also briefly tell us about your scope of work in Canada?
Hi, Fabiola. Thank you for the kind invitation. So for more than 20 years, I've been working in public health in Quebec, Canada, developing vaccine recommendations at the provincial and federal level. I serve on the Comité d'immunisation du Québec, Institut national de santé publique du Québec, and I'm the vice chair of the Committee to Advise on Tropical Medicine and Travel, Public Health Agency of Canada. Very glad to be here with all of you today.
So good to have you here. And Kate, welcome back. You're based at Gold Coast. It's 5:30 a.m. for you. I'm so sorry to get you up so early. So could you remind us again about your scope of work, please?
Hi, Fabiola. It's great to chat with you again. I'm a microbiologist and I've spent almost 20 years trying to understand gonorrhea infections and develop a vaccine to prevent gonorrhea. I'm currently leading two clinical trials to investigate the ability of the 4CMenB meningococcal vaccine to prevent gonorrhea. So this is very exciting to see these new recommendations.
Thank you, Kate. Sunita, why did the JCVI approve the 4CMenB OMV vaccine for the prevention of gonorrhea?
Well, gonorrhea is a common STI in the UK and it can be quite serious. It causes genital disease, conjunctivitis, and potentially pelvic inflammatory disease. It can also be passed on to babies during delivery if not treated. As you know, treatment requires an intramuscular injection. There are also huge concerns about antimicrobial resistance and also the lack of available efficacious treatments. So there is an urgent need to find a suitable prevention method to reduce incident gonorrhea. Researchers in New Zealand reported a while ago that following the rollout of the MenB vaccine to control an outbreak of Neisseria meningitidis, they noticed a decline in gonorrhea rates among those vaccinated. And since then, there have been many more observational studies globally which have shown similar rates of effectiveness of about 30 to 40%. And based on this evidence, the JCVI's recommended the 4C-MenB vaccine Bexsero, which is available in the UK, for use to prevent gonorrhea. So who should we be vaccinating? Well, they recommend, based on modelling studies which have shown that vaccinating those at highest risk of acquiring bacterial STIs would have the greatest impact on gonorrhea incidence, and that would be the most cost effective. So the JCVI has recommended offering this vaccine primarily to gay and bisexual men and transgender women who are highly sexually active, but actually any person who has had gonorrhea or another bacterial STI in the previous year could also be included in this programme.
Thank you, Sunita, for this concise summary. Now, Yen, could you please explain what an OMV vaccine is?
Sure. As you know, Neisseria meningitidis, just like Neisseria gonorrhea, is an encapsulated gram-negative diplococcus with an outer and inner membrane. So OMV stands for outer membrane vesicles, which are involved in cellular communication, pathogen virulence, and in modulating the host immune response. Their small size makes OMVs suitable for immune cell uptake. Thus, they are an ideal delivery system for bacterial proteins. They also activate various immune pathways and can induce both cellular and humoral responses following vaccination. So the OMV vaccine is a vaccine against meningococcus based on OMVs. By the way, Sunita, to add a bit of background to what you just said, in 2009, in one region of Quebec, we rolled out a large OMV-based meningococcal vaccination campaign to control an increase of serogroup B invasive meningococcal disease. We also used the protein-based four-component meningococcal B vaccine, 4C-MenB, and we managed to vaccinate 86% of the target population aged 6 months to 20 years old, mostly with two doses. Interestingly, apart from a significant reduction in meningitis cases, an unexpected decrease in the incidence of gonorrhea infections among persons aged 20 years or younger was also observed. However, there was no decrease of gonorrhea in older people who were not targeted for vaccination. And furthermore, chlamydia infections continue to increase in both age groups.
Thank you, Yen, and particularly thank you for providing an overview about what outer membrane vesicles or OMVs are. So we come now to Kate. Kate, remember you were here last year and we discussed vaccines against meningococcus and their effects on gonorrhea incidence. Considering that, what are your views today?
So it's great to see things are progressing in the area of gonorrhea prevention. It's taken a long time to get to this point, and it'll be very interesting to hear more about the impact of JCVI's advice for men for 4C-MenB to prevent gonorrhea in the UK. And I also wonder if other countries will make similar recommendations. As well as that, I'm also really interested in the outcomes of the ongoing randomized controlled trials. So, for example, we have two ongoing trials in Australia called Mengo and GogoVax, and these are both investigating the efficacy of 4C-MenB in men who have sex with men who are at high risk of gonorrhea. There's also a trial in the US and Thailand that's investigating efficacy in men and women who are disproportionately vulnerable to gonorrhea infection. And there's another study ongoing using a controlled human male urethral gonorrhea infection model to test 4C-MenB vaccine protection. So all of these studies will provide us with information to guide how the 4C-MenB vaccine may be used for future prevention of gonorrhea. So a lot of information will be coming soon.
Thank you, Kate. And I will be very much looking forward to bring you back to talk about those results. And so we're coming, you know, almost to the end of our podcast, but I just have another question for Sunita, if I may. So from sexual health specialist to sexual health specialist, how will you integrate the five vaccines, hepatitis A, B, human papillomavirus, mpox vaccination, and now 4C-MenB OMV vaccine, you know, alongside Doc C post-exposure prophylaxis in your daily clinic. Any advice for us all?
Yeah, thanks, Fabiola. We are doing a lot of vaccinations in our clinics at the moment. We already have existing vaccination programs for hepatitis A and B and HPV, and they are well established. In the UK, the Mpox vaccination program was quite short and it was very intense, a program of finite duration, although now the JCVI are recommending routine vaccination for people who remain at risk of Mpox. I think any implementation of new prevention strategies like vaccines for gonorrhea and DoxyPep for bacterial STIs will need to be well thought out and adequately funded. So regarding the implementation of DoxyPep, there are position statements from Australia and the United States, and a British guideline will be available later in 2024. So watch out for that.
Thank you, Sunita. This is going to be a very exciting year. Thank you all. We have arrived at the end of our second SDI BMJ podcast in 2024. I thank you for your time and effort. And here with me today are Sunita Soni, consultant in sexual health and HIV, University Hospital Sussex, and chair of the Bacterial Special Interest Group of BASH, which is the British Association of Sexual Health and HIV, and Yen Bui, consultant in vaccination and travel health, Institut National de Santé Publique de Québec, and Kate Zapp, an NHMRC Leadership Fellow and Associate Director for Research, Institute for Glycomics, Griffith University, Gold Coast, Australia. In summary, we discussed the advice provided by JCVI about the off-label provision of a vaccine against meningococcus called 4CMNB-OMV vaccine for the prevention of gonorrhea infection in patients at high risk of infection with bacterial STIs attending specialist sexual health services. Many thanks to our listeners. Please feel free to enjoy our previous episodes on your preferred platform, Apple and Google Podcasts or Spotify, and please follow us on Twitter and Facebook. Many, many special thanks to our beautiful BMJ podcast team, and we will be back soon with another 2024 STI podcast episode. For now, goodbye and stay safe.